How's it going, everyone? For anybody who's already tuned in, welcome back to On the Mic with Joe C. For anybody who hasn't tuned in yet, welcome to the show. I hope you enjoy it. And if you get a chance, hit the subscribe button if you're listening to this on YouTube. If not, give us a rating on any of the podcast apps. It really helps the episode or the show get out there as much as possible. So for those of you who are new, welcome to the show. I appreciate you guys being here and showing support. For my next guest, I am going to read this introduction because I want to make sure that I get it on point because I believe it will provide a lot of context for why I'm excited to have this guest on the episode. And so with that said, here we go. So my next guest worked in government since he graduated from college in 2006. He was elected for city council in the city of Covina in 2013. He served two total terms as the mayor of Covina within the time that he was there. He began a consulting business for public affairs and political campaigns in 2018 and also has a business in real estate since 2019. He's also been a client and a longtime supporter of the original Clip Joint Barbershop. I'd like to welcome my really good friend, Jorge Marquez.
All right. Thanks, there Joe. Thank you. I remember my first day going in there and you cutting my hair back in 2015.
Oh, man. So. That's been a while, man.
Yeah, man.
Almost
10 years.
Yeah. And I mean, I know you've gone to the San Dimas location a few times.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're still within the Clip Joint, right? And even till this day, man. So thank you so much for all the support you've showed. And thank you for being here. Because I believe the conversation that I want to have with you is one that may be a little controversial.
Yeah.
And I have so many questions, right? And so this is coming from you being in politics for so long.
A non-controversial topic.
Speaking on controversial, one thing I heard you say before we hit record was that politics used to be a noble form of service.
Mm-hmm.
And just with social media and news and just even conversations with them in the barbershop, I don't believe most people look at politicians as a noble thing. Mm-hmm. Can you share with me a little bit about that and why that might be a perspective of people?
Yeah, so back in the day, we used to have, not career politicians, right? We would have statesmen. And what we see now is with the advancement of social media and obviously just media in general, we always see the bad that's happening in government. So you'll see a council member or congress member get arrested for, some type of scandal, and that's all the focus is at. But, when you look at who truly represents you in Congress and in the Senate, at your local city councils, they're normal people just like you and me, and it's okay. And I remember having a conversation with a couple people where when I was running for city council and I got elected that, oh, I'm just using it as a stepping stone to move somewhere else. And everyone's like, oh, it's such a bad thing. But someone put in perspective, it's like, why is that a bad thing? And I thought about it. It's like, you're right. It's not a bad thing. It's like you want people from your community that are for your community to really, bring back the money that you can get from these governmental institutions back to your community. So for me, we get so focused on the negative that we don't really focus on the positive when it comes to people that are serving us at those leadership positions.
And when do you believe it went from good to bad? Because at some point, I'm sure it was looked at nobly, right? I don't know if it's the internet that changed things or what, but like before, I do believe that there was a lot more focus on local government than the broad government. When do you think the perspective of people began to change from seeing politicians doing for their community to politicians being more about themselves?
I have to probably preface this by saying, like, there's always been like that narrow stereotypical view of politicians. Even if you go back and look at political cartoons back in the newspapers in the 20s and 30s, how they would draw these caricatures, talking about the president or Congress. That's always kind of been there. But looking at social media today, I feel that when I started back in 2006, when I worked in the state legislature as a staffer, compared to when I left, the big thing that happened was social media. And it just tends to kind of polarize us a lot more. And I've noticed that even when I left in 2018 until now, with the elections that have been happening you know, the animosity that people have, and people are just so upset and angry, and they need someone to blame. And I feel that social media has influenced that. You know, there's
how.
So the algorithms, right? So when I'm looking at, you know, when I'm looking at your Instagram page, and I'm looking at these really cool, you know, barbershops and the things that they're doing, obviously the algorithm's going to see, oh, this guy's looking at, you know, the original clip joint a lot. Maybe we should start showing them more of their stuff, and maybe think people that are similar, similar to like workout videos. When I start, well, doesn't look like it, but I'm trying to work out more.
There you go.
So I'm looking at videos on Instagram, you know, people that are doing certain exercises. And now my feed has workout videos, a lot more of workout videos. Same thing applies to politics. When you see videos that are so polarizing, and you know, it starts piquing your interest, you start going down a rabbit hole, right? And whether left or right, you start seeing though, you're going to start seeing a lot of those videos and, you know, those articles on your feed. So I think the algorithm really kind of, you know, pushes us in those directions. And unfortunately, conversations with family and friends, and they get a lot more heated.
I'm sure they do. And it, you know, so there's one thing you said right now. You said, you know, social media kind of pushes us to that. I don't believe social media does anything other than give us more of what we're already doing. As much as I know a lot of people are gonna like might give like some pushback on this, social media is just it's just your mirror. Mm-hmm. That's the way I see it.
Okay.
It's just your mirror, right? If you start looking at you know, red things, it's just gonna show you more red things. Mm-hmm. Right? Not because it wants you to see more red things, but because if red things are what kept you on there a little longer than blue and gray things, mm-hmm. then it just wants to keep you on there.
Yeah.
Right? If out of nowhere you said, nope, I'm switching to for the next 10 minutes, I'm only gonna hit like on green things. I guarantee you, the rest of the day after those 10 likes, you're just gonna get more green things.
Probably, yeah.
Right? Because the way that I've, at least the research I've done, the intention of an algorithm for social media is just to keep you on it as long as possible. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
If dogs and cats videos, which we all know are the best videos on the fucking internet,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If dog and cat videos keep you on that platform longer, the algorithm will just send you more of that.
Yeah.
Right? Its only job is to keep you on the platform as long as possible.
Which we need more of. We need more cat and dog videos.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Cats playing piano for president. I'll say that.
It's not forcing anybody to mm-hmm. do anything. It's just giving you more of what it believes you believe already.
That's true. I can see that. But also, it's what you believe and you mm-hmm. think that everyone else is wrong. It's like, no, my way's it. So I have access to a couple Instagram pages for businesses, right? Mm. And I know who's on them, and I know that they're looking at certain things, right? And I see the algorithms, like, why are we watching, like, why are all these things popping up on this Instagram page? Well, it's because the other person that's also in charge of that Instagram page is watching those videos as well. Yeah. So it's kind of trippy to see things that I usually don't watch, because I'll be honest, I lean a certain way politically, and you'll see my stuff, and the other individual that I'm sharing the Instagram page has another point of view. And it's funny because like the only time I really see those videos is when I log into that business page to look at it. It's really it's pretty trippy.
It's interesting you say that, because Jasmine and I have like a running joke where we say, like, in the future, it's gonna, when you meet somebody, it's gonna be like, you show me your algorithm, I'll show you mine.
Well,
right?
Funny.
Like, and dude, it's a trip. Like, if you really think about it, I'm almost certain your feed mm-hmm. of your Instagram or your TikTok or whatever will tell me more about you in 5 minutes than anything you could ever tell me.
What a trip. I never even thought about it that way.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Because you can't hide it.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Oh, I don't know why that underwear, you know, video, right? Like, I don't know why Doe Daddy or fucking, I have no clue. It's like, there's only one way. Unless you tell me somebody else has been using your social media, you can't get away from it.
Yep,
the algorithm will not lie. Because again, the algorithm's not trying to get you to do anything other than what you're already doing. For anybody, you know, out there, look at somebody's algorithm. That'll tell you more than you'll probably get out of them vulnerably.
Start looking at other stuff too.
Yeah.
Now I got to start looking at other stuff.
So Here's the cool thing about this, though. I'm glad that we're having this conversation because this is something I've actually shared with, you know, quite a bit of people, which is that's actually a good thing. If you stop to really think about it, wait a minute. This thing is only going to show me more of what I ask it to show me, right? So if you want to be more empowered, if you want to learn more about business, mm-hmm. if you want to learn more about relationships, psychology, you know, whatever it is that you want to get more interested in and more information on, you can intentionally go on your social media and intentionally find pages
Absolutely.
That are consistently posting a lot of this stuff you believe in, you're committed to, mm-hmm. places you want to go, mm-hmm. right? Things you want to do. And you just go for 10 minutes and like follow 30 different empowering pages that mm-hmm. are in line with your commitments of where you want to go and like a lot of their posts mm-hmm. and watch what happens over the course of the next 20 minutes of you doom scrolling on your Instagram or your TikTok. You're going to see that it's just going to show you all of that stuff. So if you're if you're intentional with Instagram and you or with social media and you understand the way the algorithm works, it's a tool. Mm-hmm. You can use it in your favor.
Outsmart it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Or just use it for what it can do. It does the thinking for you. Mm-hmm. Right? Like AI now, like with ChatGPT, the difference between ChatGPT and Google that I've seen is Google, you enter, how do you do X, Y, and Z? And it gives you a bunch of links that you then have to click on and mm-hmm. go through and kind of see which one it is that benefits you the most. With ChatGPT, how do you do that one thing? Bam, it tells you.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't tell you like kind of what you wanted, you can ask it differently. Mm-hmm. Change the wording. Right? Ask it different questions and it'll give you the answers you're asking for as opposed to you having to click and look for it. So these tools can be extremely beneficial mm-hmm. to your, even to your well-being.
Yeah.
If you just train it to only show you the things mm-hmm. you want to see.
Absolutely. Well, now I got to go on there and look at more fitness videos and eating healthier and all that.
Yeah. And then doom scrolling becomes fun. Yeah. I tell people this all the time. I'd love to give you my phone right now and have you go through my Instagram feed. You'll laugh your ass off. You'll gain some dope ass business tips. You'll have like some psychology things. You'll have parenting advice. Yeah. So many different things. In 5 minutes on my Instagram, you'll walk out with a bunch of shit you probably didn't even know.
That's awesome.
Right? And so if I'm doom scrolling at that, I'm okay with it.
Well, now I got to change that. I got to make sure I look at different items on Instagram. So that's a good tip. Right out.
Yeah. And there's one thing you did say right now that I think is an amazing conversation, which is the conversation about politics with friends and family, right? In the barbershop and in everywhere you hear, you know, you just make sure you stay away from religion and politics.
That's right.
Right. And so since we must stay away from religion and politics, I want to talk to you about the conversation of politics with others.
Well, let's go.
And so being in government, right? What are your conversations like with family and friends? And whenever they may get heated, how do you diffuse them?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. For me, I have to know when to stop and who I can challenge and who I can't. There's going to be some people where I can give facts to them, talk to them, and you know, start trying to reason with them. And there's no way you can tell them the sky is blue. They're going to say the sky is green. There's no way I'm going to change their mind. That's just how they are. And there's people like that. I think the majority of people that are in my sphere, I guess you could say, are normal. Mm-hmm. And they like to have that conversation. I have many friends that that are different with me politically, but we're able to have those conversations.
Why? Because a lot of people can't.
No. And I think that's the thing with me is a lot of the people that I know, we kind of come from that background already.
What background? The political background.
Government background. We talk about it all the time. Even people within the same political ideology, sometimes we're on opposite sides of certain issues on the same field, but we're friends again. You know, it's just like campaigns. When you see people running for office, you see all this mudslinging. It's part of politics, and they're friends later on. If they want to be effective, they're friends. Because you want to make sure that you provide the resources that you can for your community. But for me, it's just making sure that you know exactly what questions to ask and what not to say to really push that relationship out further. So,
and what kind of questions would you ask, though? Like, I mean, because some people, man, you even bring up the subject and it doesn't even matter what word comes out your mouth. It's already like,
That's like, no, that's not it. That's not true. Yeah. And sometimes I'll ask them questions about like, well, where'd you get that information from? And, you know, if you know X, Y, and Z is happening, why is W happening that causes X, Y, and Z? Mm. For me, it's just kind of really understanding where they're coming from. And that's the other thing is background. Like, where do they come from? How do they come to their point of reasoning? Mm. Was it religion? Was it their upbringing? Was it their own personal experience that maybe just happened to them? So my delicate way of showing is I try and be empathetic. Thankfully, I've had good relationships with those on my own city council where we've disagreed, but we've been very respectful, and I let them know where I land. And even, you know, when I'm going door to door, when I was running for office, I'm going to be going door to door this weekend helping a candidate, and it's just really understanding their own point of view and kind of where to push. So everyone's different.
Have you ever lost anyone to politics?
Oh yeah, I have. I had a really good friend I lost to politics because I was asked by a group of community leaders to if I can go to this protest, and I went to the protest. And, he was really upset that I went, and just kind of, we're done. I'm like, really? You don't want to have a conversation about it? No, we're done.
Man, it really does trip me out, like this conversation, just to think like you could lose a relationship over over something that isn't even like attached to you, right? Like like sports, right? Like two people will like stop being friends because of a argument of which team is better.
Yeah.
Right? Like, dude, you might never even meet any of those players.
But let's be honest, who's ever a fan of the Dallas Cowboys is just a no good in my book. No.
I love how you had to throw that one in there.
I'm watching you.
I'm watching you, Cowboy fans. man. Yeah, that conversation really does trip me out, man, that people lose people over something that, like, you'll never even touch.
Yeah.
Right, like you'll never even touch it, and you're not even doing anything about it. Mm-mm. Right, like you'll lose a relationship over something you're not even like. If you were committed to it, you'd be doing stuff. Like you're out there and you know doing things to make change in the community.
Yeah,
right. Like me, I don't even argue with people about politics or even get into that conversation because I'm like, I'm not fundraising.
Yeah.
I'm not protesting. I'm not campaigning. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to my city council. I'm not calling the legislator's office. I'm not, like, there's really nothing I'm doing to change politics in any way, shape, or form. So me having a discussion or a argument about it with someone, there's one thing you said right now. You said you're going to go door to door knocking for a campaign. Mm-hmm. You were sharing me that for your consulting business, you consult for public affairs and political campaigns. Mm-hmm. What does it look like to be a consultant for public affairs and political campaigns?
When it comes to consulting public affairs and, you know, political campaigns, it's basically you trying to be the eyes and the ears of the community for that entity. Whether it's a school district who needs help with their communications program at the school, trying to reach out to parents, whether it's a business trying to understand the governmental process within a particular city or governmental agency, that's kind of where I help out. When it comes to political campaigns, let's say, Joe, you wanted to run for your local city council, I would be the one that helps advise you as to what it takes to run a political campaign. We'll look at the data. We'll look at the demographics. We'll look at the districts. We'll talk about, you know, how much is mail going to cost? How much is your general campaign going to cost? So that's generally what I do as a consultant.
One thing that did come up for me, though, as you were talking about the campaigning, Joe Biden was in East Los Angeles, and I mean, I really didn't do much research, but I seen that he was at a Israeli American's house who was like I think he was a billionaire, right? I believe he's in the music industry, entertainment industry, and he's like a big entrepreneur that does a lot of different things across the country and possibly even all around the world. And the headline that I seen was Joe Biden is at Hasim something's house for a fundraiser, right? And so what came up for me as I was watching that is these big corporations, these people who own these massive businesses, that the ease of their business and how their business functions can depend on certain policies, certain government policies, certain legislations, certain things like that. I would figure that any like politician getting any kind of donation or money from these corporations or these individuals that benefit directly by what happens in government would be a conflict of interest, right? What do you, since you have experience with campaigning and raising money and, you know, mm-hmm. things like that, yeah. how is that allowed?
So it's different between you got your federal, your state, and your local jurisdictions. Unfortunately, on the federal side of things, there are, obviously you're going to have some insider information that, you know, the normal public won't have. And I think there's been a lot of congressional members on both sides of the aisle that's brought that up. It's like, hey, we need to make sure that there's a ban on, you know, investing in particular stocks over a period of time if you're in Congress. When people say, oh, you know, politicians are like lining their pockets or they're giving money, isn't there a conflict of interest? We have to make a clear distinction that money giving to the legislator as a bribe is different from money given to the campaign. I cannot be given money as an individual, but you can give to my campaign, the organization. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the question that everyone has. What's the difference? Well, the difference is, and I'm not well versed in federal regulations. Mm-hmm. They are laxed when it comes to who can get paid. So I think you can put like your family member on a payroll mm-hmm. on the campaign. Yeah. I'm not sure. So you'd have to check the FEC committee, which is the Federal Elections Committee. You mm-hmm. have to check mm-hmm. out what the rules and regulations are. But that's an issue that people may want to know. When you're giving money to a congressional member, you can give it to them from your personal account, but you can't give it to your business. But these businesses can come into these communities and they can run multi-million-dollar campaigns helping this candidate. Without them not knowing, mm-hmm. but they know it's happening and they know where it's coming from. You know, we're in the middle of a campaign right now. You'll probably see tons of signs out. You're yep. probably getting tons of mail right now. Mm-hmm. And it's always good to see who is it paid for. There's a little disclaimer box that you can read, paid for by candidate ABC.
Yes.
Or paid for by the families who protect blah, 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 blah. Well, who are the families that protect blah, 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 blah? You can look that up online to see who's been donating. You can see if they're like corporations mm-hmm. and who's behind that money. So that's stuff you need to follow that people don't really understand.
Yeah, people don't look into.
Yeah. So what I could talk about is at the local level, state of California, I believe, just recently passed a law where if you have business in front of a city council within a 12-month period, you are not allowed to give more than $250. Mm. It's not much. You're not going to buy someone off for $250 yeah. bucks. So let's be real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, not to saying that regardless of the money, it's not, it's a very small amount.
It's not paying your family's payroll.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. you're not a congressional member, you know, putting your son on payroll for whatever.
But, yeah.
But yeah, so there are rules and it's a responsibility of the legislature who also self-polices themselves and put the rules yeah. on them. Or you have people in the community that can actually go and get petitions signed mm-hmm. to lower the threshold of how much money someone can give at for a political campaign. So we do have contribution limits in California.
Yeah,
so
at the state level is what I'm hearing. So my question though, and I get that you're not on the federal level. Mm-hmm. This could just be your opinion. How do you see that at the federal level, they can receive these donations to their campaign by these corporations?
Again, I'm not familiar with federal laws. I'm more familiar with the state and local laws. The one that cracks me up is there's a candidate right now running for United States Senate. She tends to say that she's not taking money from, I don't know, I forgot what it is, some big corporate, I'm not taking money from corporate PACs. Mm-hmm. But then she still has those people that run those corporate PACs, the president of this corporation, mm-hmm. are writing her checks. She's not taking it from the corporation. She's taking it from the president of the corporation. So when you hear people say that, make sure you're kind of reading between the lines. I can tell you that. I can tell, I'm not going to take money from corporations, but I'll take money from the president as an individual. That's different.
So for people who don't want to be president, people who don't want to be Senate, right? Like people who see like those big politicians as like big bad wolves, mm-hmm. right? And we've talked about the difference between the federal level and the state level. One of the conversations I thought that was interesting that you and I were having that I would like you to share a little bit more about how people in a community can actually make an impact in the community mm-hmm. without having to get into politics,
yeah.
right? Like without having to be on a city council seat or mayor. What are some of those ways mm-hmm. that you see people in their community can make a difference in their community?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I always tell folks that the best position or title to have is the title of citizen, right? You have a real impact at your local level. Sure, we talk about Biden and Trump and we talk about what's going on in Congress and the mess that's going on over there. But truly what matters to most folks is your potholes on your street. How's well, the new businesses that are opening up. It's like Biden and Trump aren't doing that. It's your local elected officials. They're the ones that are helping, you know, build the infrastructure for the roads and making sure that we get those state dollars to help with the infrastructure, to make sure that we have people coming in to our communities that are really going to help the economic vitality of your town. So having an impact and as a citizen, what you can do is to advocate for your community. Join a local commission, be part of a group to fight for something you want in town, to build a skate park. We had a group of kids and the pawn shop in Covina, they pushed really hard to have a skate park in Covina and it happened, right? They're in the process of building a skate park. So it can be done. And it's just pushing and finding those resources. And, your local city council member, your local mayor, your local school board member, they're people too. Yeah. They're a next door neighbor. So even if it's something simple as like, I want a speed bump down my street, just picking up the phone or just having a conversation with them, going to your local city council meeting to see how you can make an impact. And they'll be more than happy to kind of let you know how the process works.
Wow, that's awesome. I really see how, without even being in like those seats, you can, and it's the small things, mm-hmm. right, that you can really make a difference in if you just get interested, right? If you just get curious. One thing that leads me to is a conversation that you and I actually were having before we hit record of like imposter syndrome, right? Like when you go into politics, right? Or even if you go to the city council meeting, right? Sometimes like you don't see yourself as a big enough human being for anybody to listen, right? And so that's why I believe a lot of people don't actually mm-hmm. do it. Like for you, somebody who's so involved with people, right? Like I've heard, again, you guys can fact check this, but that the number one fear of people, even over the fear of death, is the fear of public speaking.
Yeah.
Right. And so for you that you're in public affairs, right? You talk to so many people, you shake so many hands, you manage so many people in these campaigns. How did you get past imposter syndrome? Or is that something you still are challenged by?
That's a great question. I still get imposter syndrome, right? And when I got elected and I started getting involved with local regional government institutions, the one big thing was I was part of SCAG. It's the Southern California Association of Governments. And essentially they are this big government institution that we are elected by other cities to represent those cities within this government entity. And one of the largest committees in SCAG had an opening for the chairman. And I was asked, it's like, hey, are you interested? I go, yeah, it seems kind of cool, but no, I don't want to, because a lot of these council members that were also there, they were attorneys, and you had a doctor, and you had a couple people that, they had some pretty good questions. They'd be taking the mic and they're talking all the time. And it's like, I don't know if I can do it. It's like, I just feel like, and I remember Rex Richardson, he was the president coming in, coming in at the time. He's currently the mayor of Long Beach. He pulls his, like, have you ran a meeting before? I go, yeah. It's like, you've been the mayor, right? I go, yeah. You done X, Y, and Z? I go, yeah. He's like, you understand parliamentary procedures and, you know, the Roberts rules of order. And I go, yeah. It's like, you can do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right.
So, all right, let's go.
All right. Perfect. So, yeah, I did it. And, yeah, became chairman of the CEHD committee. And it was an awesome opportunity for me to lead that committee for SCAG. And it's been great. But, yeah, I still get it. Even in my own business right now, I feel like, you know, we always feel like, oh, am I a fraud? And it's like, no, but I've been doing this for so long. I've had this much experience. And it's just kind of getting past that. It's trying to know that, look, I can do this. This is nothing. I can do this in my sleep. So
yeah. That's so cool, man. Because one of the things, like, what I'm really hearing what you're saying is we're always going to have that little voice, mm-hmm. right? All of us, yeah. right? And what I'm seeing works for you is to be aware of the little voice and what it's saying mm-hmm. and then do it anyway.
Yeah. Maybe it's if you don't have that voice in your head, maybe that would be an issue.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, right.
If you're
like, wait a minute, what's going on here, right? Unless you intentionally practice to quiet that voice, then you're cool. But if out of nowhere, you're just like, fuck after the voice, right? Like that might, well, that would have been the voice, right? I mean, right? I don't think you can get rid of that voice.
Yeah, actually. No, that's true.
I think you could just make it your best friend.
Absolutely.
Right? I was having this conversation the other day about with somebody about the ego, mm-hmm. right? And I feel like we paint the ego to be this bad thing. Right? The way I see it is the ego is just trying to help you survive, mm-hmm. right? Like it might be steering you away from the things you're committed from, but it's only because it thinks you're in danger of failing mm-hmm. or you're in danger of being embarrassed or mm-hmm. whatever. So it's really like your homie just trying to back you up.
Yeah.
It just doesn't know that it's backing you up in a way that isn't beneficial for you.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Right.
Nonetheless, though, it's looking out for you.
100%. Yep.
Awesome. So before I ask you my last question, I'd actually like for you to say where people can find you online.
People can find me on my social media. I got two. I got my personal. Actually, I got three social media Instagram pages. My personal is Jorge_Marquez, or you can look at my real estate page, Sold by Marquez. Or I just started a new page. It's called Mr. Covina. So I just highlight. I'm Covina's unofficial hype man. I like to say. So yeah, go check it out. I'm trying to build that page, but yeah, those are the pages where they can find me on Instagram. I'm very much an Instagram person. I kind of slowed down on Facebook, but
okay, yeah. Got it. TikTok, so you have any of those? Or just Instagram, really mainly.
I don't think I'm like coordinated to do TikTok dances.
We're already past that.
Are we past that
TikTok,
now?
Okay. I just found out today. One of my barbers kind of looked something up. And my barber just shared with me today that TikTok is actually the number five, the top five search engine in the world.
What a trip.
Yeah. So people actually use TikTok like they use Google, like use YouTube, right? Like it's no longer just, you know, little girls dancing.
Yeah.
It's no longer that.
Yeah.
Like now it turned from that to entertainment to like a search engine.
Wow.
People go to this to figure out how to change a toilet.
All right.
Right. And it's in short form. Right, yeah. YouTube is the number two search engine right now, mm-hmm. but those are long form. With TikTok, you know that like your instant gratification is going to happen much easier than YouTube, right? Because TikTok is about the short form.
Absolutely.
But yeah, TikTok it is changing again. It's no longer that little girl dancing.
I just envision the kids dancing and
it's no longer that.
All right, cool.
Well, for anybody listening, make sure you guys follow Jorge. He posts some funny ass videos, some informational videos. Check it out. Let me know what you guys think of his page. I'd love to hear about it. Let him know what you guys think of his page. I'm sure he'd love to hear about it too. And if you guys need consulting for, you know, a campaign or public affairs, you know, he does have the consulting business. Make sure you guys hit him up. And with that said, my final question is, what is the impact you want to have, and or what is it that you ultimately want to leave the world with?
Weirdly enough, I was talking to my wife last night about I saw this video where this lady was talking about how, you know, when we pass away, like no one's going to remember us in a couple generations. I'm like, man, I don't want that. I want to be remembered. I want my kids to remember me, or my grandkids and their great grandkids. Like, you know, just being a dad, I think for me, I just want my daughter just to have a great life and have a better life than I did, and just set her up and make sure that, you know, whatever family comes after my child is taken care of. And so my impact is make sure that my family in the future is taken care of. And I was part of that success, right? Okay. Trying to set them up and for financial success in the future. So,
Jorge, thank you so much for being on the show. It was a lot of fun. For anybody that's out there watching, if you guys hit that subscribe button or hit like, I've done research. It actually really helps out the channel. It really helps the algorithm of YouTube and Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, really push out the episode. So if you guys can just go ahead and hit those buttons, I'd greatly appreciate it. Go ahead and comment on any of the posts, any of the social media, any YouTube. I'd love to interact with you guys. I'm sure Jorge would too if you guys go ahead and check out his pages. And like always, guys, I just want to thank the one and only sponsor we have that is not just sponsoring this podcast, but as I like to say, it's also supplementing my life, right? Which is the Original Clip Joint Barbershop. We have two locations in the San Gabriel Valley, one in the city of Covina, one in the city of San Dimas. The barbershop in the city of San Dimas actually has rooms that it rents out in the back, which is where we have this beautiful studio, which if you've heard some doors slamming in the back and people walking and talking in the background, it's because we are recording in a barbershop. And so for anybody listening, thank you guys so much for all the support. I'm sure I'll see some of you guys inside the shop. And till then, stay blessed. Smile every chance you get. Tune in, and I love y'all. Jorge, pleasure, brother.
Thanks, thank man. You. It was a pleasure.
Peace.